Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Mental Health Today podcast. We are live from the Kabuki Hotel, and this is the Future of Employee Mental Health Summit. It's put on by Gray. Yeah. I'm gonna get the right shout out, but a big thanks to the organizer that's putting this on here at the Kabuki. It's a great program. We just finished this morning. Had one episode last night, and now I've got Jason from Big Health. So really appreciate Jason jumping in. You know, it's not easy to meet a stranger in the morning and then by the afternoon ask him on a podcast, and here he is live to really talk about what he's doing, what his company's doing in mental health. Jason, welcome to Mental Health Today. Thanks for being a guest. I'm excited to hear a little bit about what you're doing, because we chatted and I've kind of stalked you a bit on LinkedIn.
It's a good kind of stalking.
It's a good stalking. So what do you guys do at Big Health? What are you doing here at the conference, and what are you hoping to achieve, and what are you doing at the company?
Well, good questions. What I'm doing here at the conference today, I actually live on the other side of the bay.
Oh, great. So great. Yeah, great proximity. Easy to come.
Thought it would be a really good thing to come to. The topic, of course, is so pertinent. You know, we're talking about mental health. Everybody is dealing with mental health to one spectrum or another, just like we deal with physical health. Spectrum or another. And so the topic is so pertinent. And what we do at Big Health is address that, address mental health from a self-guided ability to recognizing that people need different points of access. And so at Big Health, we come from a digital therapeutic entry point, allowing people to get clinical evidence-based care through software.
Through software. So are you really hooking people up to a therapist, or is it AI?
Yeah, another great question. So we are doing it specifically in not connecting them to a person.
Okay.
So one of the topics that we were talking about, there's a shortage of licensed professionals.
We really spent a good part of the morning hearing about, you know, those are good plans, but there aren't any therapists there on the other end of the phone.
Yeah. And there's challenges that have to be solved. When we recognize the value that brings, right? It's like we could put everybody in front of a really, you know, a therapist who knows how to deal with it, and somebody who brings a culture and a background that connects with somebody. I mean, that's the ideal. We don't have that. So if we go back, you know, 13 years, you know, what Big Health was, the vision was, we recognize like optimal. We recognize what would be best.
Okay.
Is there another way to try to bring that to the table in a way that can be scalable, just like medication is scalable, right? So when we think about the two ways that people oftentimes get care, it's either they're going to go talk to somebody, you know, that traditional, you know, therapy, and nowadays we have virtual. You can, you know, get on Zoom, we can be on a call, whatever. But the other, and what actually happens most of the time, is people get put on medication. They go through their primary care physician. And they
had this offline chat, which is when you go to the care, that 70, what percent of, huge like percentage of mental health is actually done at the primary care.
Exactly.
And then they give you a Valium.
Yeah. Or something else, right? Yeah. It's like, try this.
Because that's what they can do.
That's all they have in their toolbox. So the idea of what Big Health came to the table with is like, could we take some of this structured, and we use cognitive behavioral therapy as some of the key ways of treating an individual and helping them, you know, get better. And that's what oftentimes would be first in class.
It's quite often enough of a tool.
Exactly. And so the idea was, could we put this into a package, into a software that would allow the individual to do this on their own? And does it work? And so
it doesn't work.
That was the key question. It's like, well, yeah, we could do that. And one of our founders, Colin Espy, who, you know, is out at the University of Oxford and very well versed in insomnia and cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. So that was his background. And so he says, yeah, I'll join the company, but we have to make sure that we put evidence behind this.
Yes.
Because we could create the coolest thing out there, but if it doesn't actually help somebody get better, then it's useless.
And you're up against years of evidence-based therapy. Okay, exactly. Understand. Okay. So if you're going to attack, if you're going to help this, you have to come in with an equal kind of footing.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
So that's the kind of the concept of how the company Big Health was started and how we got founded. So 2012 was the first randomized controlled trial that we, and it was a placebo-based one. So it's like we created our product, which is called Sleepio for insomnia. We had a comparison against treatment as usual, and we created a placebo. Fake Sleepio. So we put people in there, and the evidence shows that 76% of the people who had access to Sleepio achieved remission. So that is how it all began. It was like, okay, then
that's pretty decent evidence.
Pretty decent evidence. Exactly.
In this case, the C+ is really good.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and interestingly enough, if we look at what happens with in-person therapy, they're right around the same.
I was going to say, because we talk about it, if you go to therapy, you get better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so if you use this, and what have you done besides sleep? Has it gone past sleep?
Yes. So the idea was, why start with sleep? Well, as part of the things that were discussed today is like, well, it's, and we used to talk about it as a Trojan horse.
It's kind of fundamental, actually.
Exactly. Everybody sleeps. Everybody, you know, relates to sleep. But yeah, poor sleep. Nobody, we just finished talking about stigma. There is no stigma around sleep. If you come in, it's like, man, I got a horrible night's sleep last night. It's like nobody looks at you cross-eyed or thinking like.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, me too. Or exactly. Last week, did I tell you my story last week? Yeah.
So that's why we started with
it. Okay.
And additionally, there's so many comorbid conditions that align with insomnia. So if you don't sleep, and there's physical and mental,
right? you
suffer from anxiety, depression, et cetera, other types of things. Or when we think about the comorbid physical connections,
it's going to be obesity,
diabetes, cardiovascular,
which goes to diet, which goes to health, which goes to gut. Brain health.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're in the wheelhouse now. Yep.
So I mean, as a doctor of chiropractic, one of the things I tell my patients all the time
is
there's because they're like, what do I do to improve my health? Well, there's kind of like three stools, three legs on the stool. You know, you've got to make sure you get rest and recovery. You know, that's our sleep.
Yeah.
You have to make sure you're eating well and getting good nutrition.
Yep.
Right. And then the third thing is you have to move. You know, our bodies are designed to move. You've got to have some kind of exercise or movement in your life. So that focus on sleep, everything else kind of crumbles. So oftentimes I'll be talking to employers and talking about what is a benefit strategy that might work. And, you know, they'll have, well, here's our pillars. We have, you know, focus on exercise, nutrition, and, you know, pillars kind of go on. I'm like, that's awesome. That foundation has to be looking at something that is like a root cause. And sleep often is that root cause. If you can address and improve sleep, then a lot of things get better. So that's why we started with insomnia. Now, what we've done since is started looking at other prevalent conditions. So anxiety, right now, adolescent depression is another one. So
that'd be a great one to address.
Yep. So that we currently have three products.
Okay.
Sleepio is for our insomnia, poor sleep. Daylight is for anxiety and worries, and Spark is for adolescent.
Oh, it's great names. Yep. I like your marketing people.
We do have some very, which, by the way, we...
Big shout out to the marketing people who came up with those names. Yeah.
And
because it's endless. You can have a lot of products around this with that name structure.
And we were just talking, and it's interesting, like if you say we don't call them tortilla chips or, you know, it's like we call them by the brand names. Like we use Kleenex, not tissues, right? And so... The company is Big Health. Our products are, as I mentioned, Sleepio, Daylight, and Spark. But we've had some creative folks on our team who have just looked at, like, how do you make a connection? And then when you think about the communications and things like that we were just talking about, you have to connect with people. It has to make sense. It has to be something that they can get their arms wrapped around and say, I could use this. So that's some of the behind the scenes.
Yeah, The conversations this morning around access and just the ability to solve this crisis, and what I've seen through the mental health, this show, this podcast, you know, is that we can't scale fast enough. I don't think we can scale relative to the crisis speed of growth. So we're not even matching the growth of the crisis over the last 10 years. So we can't scale the human aspect of it. We have to use the tool set. And You know, one of the things interesting, we had a conference, there was one of the comments today was we were talking about really finally getting in to see a doctor, mm-hmm. and then, you know, or a therapist, and the therapist might look at you, clinician, say, you know, how did you shouldn't be here. You're actually okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, how do they get there in the first place? It'd be triage. Where's the triage?
Right.
Where's the first thing is, have you tried these electronic tools? Have you read this book on gratefulness? Mm-hmm. Have you done these? What is your diet like? Hey, do you ever walk around the block? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get to a therapist without actually doing something in your own life to address your own? Part of this too is our self-responsibility, I think, address our own.
I totally agree.
With tools, not by our own.
There's a balance, right? There's, trying to think of a good example on, you know, the spot, but if we think of managing our weight or managing our exercise or something like that, there's all kinds of tools that are readily available. It's like, we're going to wear a wearable to see, like, you know, what's my heart rate, or, you know, can I, you know, depending on how far you geek out, right? It's like, you're going to be like, what's my VO2 max and what's my heart rate variability? Like, there's all kinds of things that we have on the physical side. And so what can we use tool-wise to help us improve our mental health? And there's a range, right? There's things from mindfulness and resilience all the way to, you know, more treatment type things where we fit into that side of the spectrum as well.
Yeah, I for me, a lot of this has been around the tools, mm-hmm. and developing the tools. And, you know, and that's just not just wearables and other stuff, but it's simple stuff. Right. And just tool, like education in high school, mm-hmm. you know, where is the class on sleep,
right.
and how to sleep best? And when you go home, put your phone down, put it on this, get it away from you. It's got radiation. It's not really good for it. It shouldn't be on top of your head.
And it's often during those years where we're building all those bad habits, you know, to where we emerge from it thinking that we're warriors, because it's like, I can get by on 4 hours of sleep, you know, and then we go into the workforce and then we, you know, build upon that and, you know, it continues to get worse. That, at least that's kind of where I came from.
Oh yeah, I've had those jobs. I was Superman for a while. Yeah. And I found out I couldn't fly.
Yes.
I found out I wasn't actually Superman. I just thought I was. And I just worked like I was. Mm-hmm. But just goofy, like one of the vendors here is BetterHelp. I think everybody's heard of BetterHelp. If you're watching the show, you know who they are. But it's a great giveaway at the table. Just a grateful journal. And just a place in here where you can wake up in the day and just write, you know, I'm grateful for this and why I feel and how. And,
you know, I've been
today's act of kindness.
Mm-hmm. I've been keeping a gratitude journal for probably about 3 years.
How is it working?
Well, the reason why I did it is
because
there was a statistic or some kind of research that they had done that says if you do that, you're 25% happier. If I got my statistics right.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would I not want to be 25% happier?
Like, is that free? Like, I just write something?
That's all I do in the morning. So I get up and I do some personal study and stuff. And then I just take a minute to write one sentence of something that I'm grateful for.
Jim Herling is a really active coach on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I follow Jim and he's got great posts. Big shout out again to Jim, another person I follow. And, he coaches his clients and he has this one page sheet that he works with them on, their daily, kind of a daily sheet. And the first things they do is write down three things they're grateful for. Nothing to do with work. These are all senior executives. They're all like, mm-hmm. you know, real professionals. And the first thing you write down is stuff you're thankful for.
Why not start the day off right? Like, there's so many things that could start us off on the wrong path. We often say, oh, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, get on the right side of the bed by putting just one thing down.
Yeah. Go left, not right, when you get out of bed. I mean, you're kind of in control of that.
Exactly. There are things that we do have control over. There's many things going on right now that we don't. But there's ways that we can manage our health, our mental health, by taking control.
And there is that thing, that stuff you just can't, there's a lot of stuff we can't control, and you have to let that go. And I do like this, that stuff that's in our control is so much more powerful, though. It's so much more, because I can't do anything about Israel and Palestine. I can't do anything honestly about Ukraine. I mean, I can put up like a Ukraine flag on my bio or something, but you know, it's not going to do anything. But I can control a lot of stuff. Yeah. I can be kind to somebody near me, right? I can do a lot of stuff around in my own ecosystem.
Firm believer in those types of things, that we can do a lot more good than maybe we think by smiling, by waving at somebody.
Goodness gracious, just by recognizing another human.
You know, and truly meaning when we say, how are you doing? You know, how are you today?
How are you really doing? One of my questions on the jar is that question. How are you? The question is, when was the last time somebody asked you, how are you doing? And you felt they meant it. And
that's a good question.
That question is so, it's happy and sad for me, because when people respond in the right, like with great story, it's so powerful. And there's quite often people just look and they're like, nah, I don't now. Like, this is the first, like, you know, the interview, like it's been, I can't think of the last time somebody cared what I said and let me finish a sentence.
And that is in a way sad, you know, that we sometimes become so busy that we go through the motions, but the compassion or the, you know, the intent.
Yeah. The word that came to me at the same time, as you said, it was intent. The intention is just not there. It's not there.
I think it's better than not, but you know, there's also like there's it'd be better to go and say hi to everybody and not mean it than to not.
To mean it. How do people find you? Who do you guys work with, and how do people find you and get more information?
One, you can follow us on LinkedIn. I'm assuming this is where some people will find it. Our website is bighealth.com.
Super.
Easy. We work with a lot of employers, health plans, payers. We're trying to make this as accessible to individuals who need care. And we recognize that it's not a silver bullet. You know, it doesn't solve everything, but it definitely needs to be into that ecosystem with options for people to have digital treatment that can actually, you know, help people get along, get better, maybe used in between sessions with a therapist. Maybe used in conjunction with medication that they're taking. But the goal and idea is, like, how can many people who won't even go talk to somebody, well, what do we do for them? And this can be an avenue for them as well.
Yeah. I mean, sleep is so benign. You covered this earlier. It's so benign. You know, the executive can actually go up and say, man, you know, I've been having some, you know, that could be the person. Because one of the conversations we had, the panel had, was talking about, you know, senior executives or let's say it's the CEO. Starts confessing not doing very well and having a hard time. And is that powerful or not? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's tricky.
And it goes beyond what I would say is, you know, sleep hygiene, right? We've actually done one of our randomized controlled trials that took Sleepio and says, you know, how does this help somebody versus somebody who's getting sleep hygiene?
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, one of those studies that we were able to conduct showed that people actually achieved higher improvement because there becomes like a threshold point to which is like considered healthy sleep.
Or okay.
Right? Like the recommendation is get somewhere between 7 to 9 hours.
Yes.
And there's studies that talk about what happens if you're only getting 6, if you're getting below that.
Right? I don't want to read those anymore because I had quite a few years.
Yeah. And so in this randomized controlled trial, we actually saw that, you know, sleep hygiene would get people close to that threshold, but it didn't get them over. And so they can find that. You can find that on our website. Right?
Oh, the study. Yeah. I think I've learned a lot about sleep hygiene and I've got that to the best place I can. Right. I know now, you know, TVs don't belong in your bedroom. If you have a TV in your bedroom, you rip it off the wall and throw it out the upstairs window.
Don't put your phone by your bed.
Bed.
Room temperature, you know.
Cold, chilly and dark.
Yes, dark. Very important.
I've been seeing some of the stuff on the circadian rhythms, and even and for children, how it absolutely messes kids up. The nightlight.
One of the statistics I love, which emphasizes the importance of sleep, there is what I call the biggest global study that we've had out there, and is daylight savings.
Okay.
And we're going to come up. I think it's coming up pretty soon. But we try. Hey, let's add an hour of sleep, and let's take away an hour of sleep. Right. There are more heart attacks on that day when people lose 1 hour of sleep than any other time of the year.
Wait,
That following day, there are more heart attacks on that Monday.
Because they're awake. They're going to bed at the same time.
They lost 1 hour of sleep.
And somewhere in there, that alarm goes off and they're missing that hour. Their whole rhythm's messed up.
Exactly.
So that's what that is, a rhythm, yeah.
And how we were talking about the comorbid effects.
And that's the comorbidity.
That's where some of that connection comes in. And then you flip it around to where people get that one extra hour of sleep. There are less heart attacks. So when you talk about, and that's just 1 hour in a week, when you consider that. So if we can help people improve their sleep by an hour or 2 hours, some people can be dramatic. It's huge.
And I've had some really powerful, like my sleep is powerfully impacted now. Now that I'm way more aware. And I know some of the mistakes I was making. Again, I come back, Jason, to the CEO is a great, you know, we talk a lot about top down and the vulnerability and everything else, but admitting to to depression or anxiety, these are all really trigger words and not something I even want my CEO to say, honestly. And I've seen CEOs that should be probably hospitalized from mental health issues, I still don't want them to say it.
Exactly. But you think about, there's even been studies with entrepreneurs. We're here in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, tons of VCs and companies starting up. Entrepreneurs suffer from this big time. Because when you think about what they're trying to do is like appease the VCs, get their board, up and running and, get a company up and running, all those types of things is huge. It's challenging. Yeah. And so oftentimes we burn that candle.
They are burning at both.
Sleep is the thing that
it's truly a burn at both ends. Hang on.
Mm-hmm. It's got some noise in the hallway. But Ken, this has been really fun to.
It's great. Great conversation. Sorry about that. I had a little people going outside the door. Jason, awesome conversation. Love what you're doing at Big Health. This is scalable. Yes. Absolutely. And I can imagine the products. Love to get you on. Maybe we'll do another real session next time and get into the products.
Happy to.
Like really get into and what's in the queue is kind of what I'm interested in.
Oh, the roadmap. Because
it's 10 years ago and you've got these. I imagine the roadmap's got something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Any company has to grow. Every company has to
continue
to evolve. And so there's some fun things that we have.
I want to see those. Jason, again, thanks very much for being a guest, taking time. We're missing our lunch, 20 minutes. It's, it's a tight stuff. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's totally fun to do this.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening and supporting Mental Health Today, live from the Kabuki Hotel, which is super exciting. A lot of great conversations going on. And I look forward to talking to you soon. If you're listening to this on the audio version, really appreciate you sticking around with us this long. Make sure to give us a shout out on whatever platform you're listening on and subscribe. Thanks again, Jason. Thanks, everybody. See you soon. I'm going to find that exit button.